Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of find, hire, and keep multifamily maintenance insights from the field. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after educator and trainer, the fabulous Mark Kukro, president of Plus One Inc. and founder of Service Team Training. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
You know, I obviously have followed you for a long time in the industry. Unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to get you on the show until now, but for several years, I've had people say, you know, you need to get Mark on the show. He's got a lot of stuff to share about maintenance, which is always a topic of interest to people in the multifamily industry. And I'm sure there's a reason why there's so much interest. Give us a little bit of overview of what's going on in the maintenance role within the industry right now.
Sure, glad to. And, you know, for everyone listening, I'd like everyone to know as well that I started off in the field many years ago as a technician. And so I firsthand know what it's like to be in the field, work in the field, and work with some amazing people, and work for some people that we all wish did a little bit better, including myself. And so everything that I share comes from firsthand experience, and this is my 20th year as a consultant. So I also do a lot of research, but I find that when you can connect to people in the field and really understand what they are experiencing, and then add that to the research part and the data-based responses, that it just gives you much better insight into what's going on in the field. So, you know, the industry as a whole has been improving year after year. And so it's really encouraging to see that. And with that improvement, we have our own peaks and valleys and our challenges, which really are just opportunities for us, and depending on how we look at them. And so overall, it's been increasingly difficult to find technicians. And I think anyone listening to this would agree that in the past 10 years, it's been more difficult to find people, and not just find people, but find people that have the skills that they want, that show up on time, that can get through all of the qualification processes in a timely manner, and then as well have those people stay. And so there's a few things to consider. And when you look at your workforce, and I do this a lot whenever I travel and I do seminars, which is basically at least every week. One of the things I like to do when I have specifically a service technician environment where 90% or more of everyone in the audience is a service technician or a supervisor. And one of the things I like to do is just ask this: if you're 25 years old or younger, please raise your hand. And I have to tell you, I was in Atlanta last week speaking at a conference, and not a single person raised their hand. Yeah. So then it gets this little bit of awkward silence for a moment while everyone's looking around the room to see who raises their hand. And then I said, okay, well, I read the room and I ask, how many of you are 30 years old and younger? And one person, one out of the entire room, raised their hand. And then, of course, the audience gave them a round of applause, and they're just having fun with the moment and the question. And then basically, how many of you in the room are between 30 and 40, and a few hands went up. And now at this point, everyone's looking around and it's kind of, we're laughing at each other. And I said, well, I'm not even going to ask who's over 40. And the whole room's hands basically went up. And I find that that is a consistent thing across the board in our industry, is that the average age of the person that we have in the field is Generation X or higher. And so we have this challenge. Now, there are millennials, of course, in the workforce, just not nearly as much. But I do this on a regular basis, and I consistently get 1 to 2, maybe 3% of people that are in their mid-20s and younger, basically fresh out of school, entering the workforce in multifamily, and then maybe a few more in the next 10-year age category. So overwhelmingly, we have this huge shortage of young people, fresh people in, that are coming into the workforce that are entering our industry, in addition to most people truly don't have never heard of our industry. If you ask someone that's in their 20s, a random person that has never worked in this industry, what is the multifamily industry? And they don't know. And usually the response after you explain what it is like, oh, I had no idea. And so we're doing a better job, but I think we still need to make sure that we understand we need to make a lot more progress with getting our industry known to the general population as much as possible. Now, the other part of that is being short-staffed and overwhelmed. And if you're listening to this, just ask yourself, is every position in my company occupied in service technicians or supervisors? In most cases, the answer is no. And we have this kind of interesting time where we have millions of jobs, and I mean millions, available in the United States, yet we still struggle to find people and fill those positions. And there's a couple of reasons. Qualifications, baseline skills is one of them. But in addition to the older generation in the workforce and the younger two not in it so much for us, about 15% of people in the service industries begin to phase out just because it's a tough environment and they're working in difficult conditions. And you may not think of it that way, but, you know, if you do service work and you're in attics and you're in crawl spaces and you're climbing up and down stairs and carrying heavy objects up and down stairs and hand trucks and appliances and all the things that we do, it takes a toll on your body. And if you do that for 10 or 15 or 20 years, it takes a larger toll on your body. And so if there's a number to write down for anyone that's listening or want to remember, it would be that 1/3 of the service workforce ages out between 50 and 55 years old. So basically, if you look at your company and you would say, okay, how many people do we have that are approaching the age 50? Most of the time, the people that have been doing the service work for 10, 20, 30 years, if they don't have a career path, it's very difficult on their body. They will transition out of the service industry, multifamily specifically, and do things like sales, vendors, other trades, and do different things that's a little bit less difficult for them to manage through physically. And of course, when you have a toll on your body physically, it takes a toll on you mentally as well. So the good news is that we're starting to see companies make a conscious effort to have vocational training, have other types of trainings and outreach programs in communities to get people into the industry, first by awareness, and then second, giving them an idea that this is a really good option for you to build a career in if you want to. And we want you to hear about it, find out about it, try it for yourself and experience it. And so we're starting to see that, and I'd like to see more of those seeds planted all over the industry. But it does take a lot of work from everyone that's from hiring people, from HR to the people in the field, to whatever academic institutions are in the area, trade schools, community colleges, high schools, you name it. But I think we could do a better job reaching out to people, informing them about our industry, and just letting them know that it is a career choice. Now, if you're short-staffed and you think, okay, well, where do I find new people? I have to tell you, every time I'm doing a seminar or speaking with a client, the question comes up, Mark, where do we find technicians? I mean, we keep trying. We're putting ads out. I really don't know what to do. We're a three-person crew on a property. We've been short two people. Then we hire one, and they don't last very long. And so we're bouncing between one and two employees. They're starting to be a little overwhelmed. The environment is difficult for them. We want to bring new people in, but we don't even know where to find them. The ads aren't really doing much for us. So something to consider is just take a look at the businesses. You can search local listings online if you like. There's all sorts of resources that you can find. But let's identify the trades that you need on your property. Because what happens very often is people go, well, I just want a person to just drop in, hit the ground running, make problems go away, and I don't have to deal with any more headaches. And I think if we take it in a more logical, critical thinking, troubleshooting approach and say, okay, how big is my property? What are the demands? What are the specific skill sets that we need? Is it electrical, HVAC, landscaping? Do they need some level of operational knowledge? Are they going to do capital projects, plumbing, codes, interviewing, team building, masonry, drywall, concrete, tile, roofing? What are the things that they will be doing most probably on a daily basis? And then I would start to gravitate towards trying to get those skills on board to your company by advertising that's what you need. For example, very often someone will put, you know, an ad in the paper, and it's this very general paper online, this very general, vague kind of listing. But if you could say that we're looking for someone that has electrical HVAC experience, they'll be doing troubleshooting, and the more specific you get, it's much easier to figure this out and then start to advertise towards what you need. So really ask yourself, what do I need, and what are the traits that we really don't need? Instead of just looking for a tech, like, how can we find someone, hire them, and just plug them into the program? And we'll get into the systems and processes a little bit later in this interview. But the idea is, let's look exactly at what we want. People are leaving because it's difficult. And I've got some other things to take note on in the third and fourth session of this. But people are leaving. They're overwhelmed. It's a tough work environment. Around 45 to 50, people start thinking about moving out or moving up. And if they don't have a place to move up, typically they move out. And I had someone in a conversation tell me, he says, you know, Mark, I've been in this industry a long time. And once it's in your blood, it's in your blood. He said, but I don't really want a job for 20 years. I want a job that leads me to a career. And so if you have the ability to have any kind of upward mobility and growth for people, it's one of the most requested things from technicians in the field. And so if there's nowhere to go, where do they go and what's keeping them? And, you know, those questions will lead us into the other sections of this. But just start looking at the industries around you very specifically. And you can look at universities. It could be a water treatment plant, shopping malls, which many are closing, factories, warehouses, fabricators, welders, hardware stores, you know, concert facilities, recreational facilities. There's just all sorts of places that we never really even thought to look into to try to attract talent. And once we get the talent, then, of course, we get into the, you know, how do you interview them and hire them and bring them through the qualification process? And then how do we get into onboarding, orientation, assimilation, and then keeping people? So that would be, you know, my advice right away. It's just look around in the industries that are local to you and ask everyone on your team, if you have people on your team that have some ability to understand this, what trade skills, what industries around us have skills that would overlap and transition well into where we're working, and start going to them and start letting people know that you have a good place or a great place to work, and you have opportunities and resources for people. And I think that'll make a big difference.
All right. Well, we will break it here, Mark. We are going to be back with much more on this topic right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents. And say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Assist. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property. And service your portfolio with Happy Force. With the full HappyCo suite, your teams will consistently increase property value, streamline operations, and delight residents. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
Smart is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of find, hire, and keep multifamily maintenance insights from the field. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after educator and trainer, the awesome Mark Cookrow, president of Plus One Inc. and founder of Service Team Training. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Mark, when you were discussing in the first segment the kind of the overview of the maintenance role in the industry, where we are right now, it reminded me, and I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on this. I seem to recall that prior to the beginning of the pandemic, I mean, the maintenance role has always been a tough one to keep turnover from happening in. But I seem to remember that NAA or somebody did a survey in the prior to the pandemic, it was over 30% turnover rate in the maintenance role at multifamily properties. And then after the pandemic, it was up over 50%. Is that what you're seeing?
That is exactly what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing percentages, depending on the company, between 40 and 50%. And so, you know, this is something I think we really need to put resources in to and take seriously. And the shortage is, and then of course, in addition to the shortage, we have the turnover. And so I think that's something that everyone's going to deal with. Now, my personal opinion is this is only going to get worse for at least 5 more years. Mm. And I mean significantly. And so, and I don't want to stress anyone out, but at the same time, I want us to get prepared and really understand what lies ahead for us. And I don't see that this is going to improve, because let's just say every company and every local educational institution in a moment's notice took getting more people into the trades industries very seriously. It takes years to train those people. And so it takes between 1 to 2 to 4 to 5 years of a good apprenticeship to get people up to intermediate to advanced skill levels. The first 1 or 2 years is, you know, just entry level of beginner positions. So I think it's something that we really need to take serious and invest into ourselves. I am seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Most people, when they think about, oh, I've hired somebody, so I've taken care of the problem. But you're right. I mean, they, depending on what their experience level is, they may or may not be able to do everything that you expect them to do, you know, in the beginning, and it may take time for them to learn those other skills. So That is a great point. Let's talk a little bit about, and we touched on it in the first segment, but as far as finding potential employees, go into a little bit more detail about that, as well as tips for how to do the job postings and mistakes to avoid when making those job posts. We have about 6 minutes left in this segment.
Okay, sure. I think, you know, here's the thing, if you want to look at it, what media do most people trust in each generation? What do they interact with the most? And then I would start putting advertisements and promotions in those types of media, right? So if you have a younger generation and they're on Instagram or TikTok or anything else, it may help, right? And very often the bigger your company, the longer it takes to get responses into the field in a timely manner. So that's a challenge. But the more that we understand that people are looking at different things for their social and professional interactions, it may give us an advantage that some others may not have. Now, when it comes to the advertisements themselves, what I would ask everyone to do is, first of all, don't trust anything. I want you to just grab an empty blank notebook and a pen, and I want you to go through all of the job advertisements that you can find. And I want you to just think about this. Are they all written and structured similarly or different, and how? And I think what you'll find, in fact, I'm sure what you'll find, is that almost all companies use the same exact several parts of software where they just type in the words that they need and they make the advertisements. And so if you go to, you know, any of the leading platforms for job searches, you'll find that they're all worded very, very similarly. And it starts off basically with this long list of what they're looking for, how big the company is, what their geographical footprint is, and then they will list expectations. Now, there's a few things I want to share too, like phrases to avoid. And I'll give you an example. I saw this one just the other day. I look at these all the time. And it said, we're looking for a technician, goes on about how big and great the company is. Required experience, drywall 1 year, plumbing 1 year, maintenance technician experience 1 year, HVAC 1 year, appliance repair 1 year, electrical 1 year. Now, I have to say, this is for an entry-level technician. Really, honestly, I don't even know what to say. This is so, the expectations for this are just so far off the mark that if you just added these years, right? So the question is, do you want someone with 1 year experience in each one independently or collectively working on all of them for a year plus being a technician? And so this is a very unrealistic, I mean, out of this atmosphere beyond unrealistic expectation for a new technician. If you have new people coming into the industry and say they're in their early 20s, how much life experience can they have, especially in the trades? So we have to understand that we have to look for things that just immediately don't disqualify people when they're looking through this, and maybe communicate things with a different type of language. Like, I call this the upside down post. Instead of how great we are, we're a leading company with this many units, what you'll need to do to do it, and what we want you to believe, hopefully that will be your experience, we're not sure, or why you should work here, how great we're going to treat you, this is what you'll need, this is the description, we put you in an amazing environment, oh, by the way, this is how big we are, and we'll give you everything you need to work. And if you want to build a career with us, we're a great option, instead of you should have everything and we'll just plug you into a program.
Yeah.
And in my personal experience, I ask technicians, we'll sit down and say, okay, do me a favor. Let's pull up one of the search platforms. Just show me how you search for jobs. Because I know what I think. I want to know what you think in the field. And how you search for things is very often completely different than how I do. And so I started to notice a few things. What they were looking for is location. So when companies hide locations, they get very skeptical. If they don't put the pay, they get very skeptical. And so, because people want to know, how far do I have to drive back and forth to home? Do I have to pick up my kids if you have them? You know, where am I going to work? And if there's anything that's vague or seems secretive, they just scroll right past it. And the other thing is, if you appeal to what, because most people read the first top third, maybe a quarter of the posting. And then if it doesn't appeal to them, they just scroll to the next one. So we have to make sure that we get a hook into that person that's reading that. Now, the language itself, I'd like to talk briefly about this. But if you ever hear the words, or if a technician ever sees the words competitive pay, that means to them there is no pay. It's low pay. Mm. If you pay well, say that. But when people hear the word competitive, it means as little as possible to them. And so some of this may be a surprise. If someone is looking for a superhero, that means please help us get out of the mess that we're in. And people read into these phrases like this. If we want an independent mind in person, or we want you're in a fast-paced environment. In other words, you're going to work under high stress with low resources. We're not very organized. We're doing the best we can. We need someone to get plugged in. And in some of the ads, I even saw where they put, you must have common sense, or they want all of these certifications. Now, if you look at training itself, what is training? A few hundred dollars per person, maybe a couple thousand per year. That's significantly less than a training program. So let people know in the posting that you're going to help build them career and win at life, not just give them a job and a paycheck. And if you take that approach, like how can we improve your life? How do we communicate that in a posting? You're going to get a much better response than a long list of how big your company is with the pay hidden at the bottom and they don't even know where the property is. The language itself is important.
All right, we're going to have to break it here. We are going to be right back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of find, hire, and keep multifamily maintenance insights from the field. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after educator and trainer, the terrific Mark Cookrow, president of Plus One Inc. and founder of Service Team Training. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Mark, we've got about 9 minutes in this segment before we get into our final segment. And I know there's all kinds of ways to interview potential maintenance personnel that when you're hiring them. To cover some of those, and what are some of the things that people should be aware of?
Okay, so one of the first considerations I would like to ask anyone is, what type of interview do you have and why, right? So what are you trying to uncover or discover? And so you can have most people, in my experience, especially in multifamily, when they think to themselves, oh, I have an interview, they think, well, okay, I'm going to meet a person, speak with them for an hour or so, I'll go over all of the rehearsed questions that I can think of and have primary and secondary answers, and we'll see how it goes. And really, the company should interview the person, but the person should also interview the company, because you want to make sure that both people feel like they won in this exchange and they both got the better end of the deal, or they're both said to themselves by the time this is over, I'm really excited about this. And it's not a one-sided thing. No person is doing the other a favor. And so something else to consider is the type of interview itself. So do you have a one-on-one interview that's just a single person? Do you have a technical interview where they'll meet with a supervisor or someone that just wants to measure their technical proficiencies? Or do you have someone where it's a team approach, where you can have a manager and a supervisor, and they both will ask different questions, managerial, supervisory, is it an infield, or is it a partially infield interview, like you're going to meet with someone and then we're going to take you in the field so you can measure their technical proficiencies, or is it a group or a panel? And the reason I say this is very often, if you want to get technicians or supervisors involved, they may be good at the technical proficiencies, but are they good at looking and finding and identifying the little behavioral red flags? In my experience, most people get hired for their qualifications and they leave because of treatment or behavior and of to them or from them. So just know which one you want to have and why and what you're trying to uncover, discover, and then figure out. And the other thing is, how much time does it take between the first response that a person, prospective employee, gets or makes to the time they're hired? In other words, why does it take 3 weeks or does it take 2 days? So can you streamline that process? How many interviews typically take place? Let the person know. The last thing you want to do is tell someone to come in and they're completely startled or blindsided by a different interview than they expected, and now there's multiple people in a group setting because people are stressed enough. And when they come in and they thought they're going to meet one person and there are six people there and it's a panel, they might just shut down in the interview and you won't get the best of the person. So let people know, and then you can judge how well they prepare. But one of the things I think we all want to know is, can we see the little red flags before they become big red flags? And so if someone has wonderful technical proficiencies, but they have questionable behavior, I wouldn't hire them. I would move on. Now, if the person is not perfect for you and your company and your culture and your environment, then I would help them find a job somewhere else where they may fit in perfectly. And you're not burning bridges and you're not accumulating enemies. You're helping people that fit somewhere else find a job. And they will most likely refer someone to you that they think will fit. So there's a few things in the interview that I think we have to ask ourselves. Number one, is this person coachable? If you're sitting across the table or the desk, just ask yourself, how coachable is this person? Are they mentally flexible and adaptable? Do they have the IQ, the intellect for what we're doing? If so, yes, no, maybe, I'm not sure. Do they have the emotional quotient? So do they have the social skills? And this is something that we really need to have and gauge in the interview process for the service industry, such as multifamily, where we work with so many people. The next thing you ask yourself is this person motivated and driven? Do they have a dependent personality or do they have an independent personality? And can they go between both? And if so, under which circumstances? And then I have two more. The next one would be, what is the temperament? So if you're sitting across, have you ever sat in an interview and you just thought to yourself, there's no way I want this person representing my company, right? And I think we all have. And I know I've been in interviews where I just think to myself, my goodness, I can't wait for this to be over. Or I can't wait for this to be over so we can hire this person. So does the temperament, their overall disposition, the way they sit and hold themselves and conduct themselves, does that match what you want to represent your company when they're interacting with customers and they have interpersonal interactions with each other on the team? And then does the person have technical competence? So can they actually deliver and do the repairs in the field? And do they have skill versus knowledge, or do they have more of one than the other? But the last thing you want to do is hire someone. They knock on their door, they're obnoxious to people, they're rude, or if someone is disrespectful, they snap back at them, and then you have to deal with that. And I think we've all worked with people where we said to ourselves, honestly, I don't know how you still have a job, or I can't believe you think it's okay to talk to people like that. And so if the answer to all of these is yes, proceed with the interview. If the answer to any of these is no or maybe, dig a little deeper. And then ask some very specific questions. Now, the questions I would avoid are, I hear these questions all the time. Why should we hire you? What's your 5-year plan? And there's really no benefit to that whatsoever other than people. When people ask those questions, typically their approach is they're looking for a gotcha kind of scenario with questioning, as opposed to a qualifying, situational, circumstantial interview. So ask people what they would do and try to assess their judgment in the field just as much as their skill sets, because you need to have their skill set and their mindset, and they have to match, or they have to be willing to be developed into what you need to represent your company, your organization, and interact with your customers.
Talk a little bit. We've got about a minute and a half left in this segment.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about the expectations that people should have from the interviews.
Yeah, so the expectations is, and thank you for asking that, is the baseline skill of people coming into the workforce is remarkably, I don't even mean a little, not even a lot, remarkably different than it used to be. Vocational training and trade schools have pretty much been eliminated from almost every educational system there is. There's a few here and there, but not many. So the baseline knowledge entering the workforce is completely different, to the point where we really do have to teach people how to use tools. What are certain tools? You can't use drywall screws to hang light fixtures. There's different types of screws and bolts. And I have found that training like that to be some of the most beneficial training. And then what some companies are really starting to focus on, which really makes me very appreciative, is the soft skills, the leadership skills, the communication skills, and not just the technical skills, but all of the other skills that help the delivery of the process. Because maintenance is a task, service is an experience. And we have to make sure that the task that's performed is able to deliver an amazing experience. And that's what we have to expect in the workforce. But we have to help build that.
All right. We will be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
We're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of find, hire, and keep multifamily maintenance insights from the field. I am Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after educator and trainer, the fantastic Mark Cookcrow, president of Plus One, Inc., and founder of Service Team Training. Mark, we've got, I'd say about 8 minutes in this segment before I want to transition into something else to finish talking about what we've been talking about in the first three segments. And I want to ask you, what do you think, and I know you talk to people all the time and you talk to lived companies, what do you think that the techs in the field really want?
So I've spent 2 years on what I'm going to mention with a few companies compiling research and interviews, and they're firsthand, and I've done most of them personally. And the thing that's interesting, Paul, is when people think that there could be any kind of retaliation, the response rates are very low. Hmm. When people truly know that the company wants to change, they're not going to reverse engineer the submissions and the comments, and they go to a third party, the response rate is tremendous. Hmm. So I have spent a couple years with a woman named Wendy Warner Draper. I spoke at the NAA with her, and the response rate was 97%, which is just unheard of. I still can't even believe we got such a good response rate. And so I've compared that response rate to others. And if you send out like surveys and things, usually it's, you know, 3 to 10%. So this is over 97% of the technicians in the field giving us feedback. I compiled all the feedback, and then I'm going to add that to my personal experiences as well. And that is, you know, what do you want in the field? And I mean, what can we do that would actually make a difference that you want? Not what we think you want in the corporate office. What do you want in the field? And if you'd like to, you know, take a phrase, the moment you become disassociated from the needs in the field, that is the moment that the decline of your business has begun. Mm. And so we have to make sure that we're not multiplying frustration in the field, right? So what you encourage is what you multiply. What you standardize is what you enforce is what you standardize. And, you know, short-term fixes don't cut it. You have to have long-term fixes. You have to understand what your company culture is. And you have to actually deliver that. It's not enough to just claim it, but you need people. If you say your company is value-based, they must be lived and demonstrated through deeds and actions. And, you know, I remember this happens, I would say, almost on a weekly basis. But I was doing an interview, doing a presentation, and, you know, I made a joke like, hey, listen, welcome to the company. I've been on call for 90 days. I'm dying. I need a break. I'm burnt out. I know it's your first day. Here's the keys. You're on call. And yeah, and we all kind of laughed. We're like, oh, we've all been there. And I can't think of a worse thing to do to a person on their first day, right? So my question to anyone that's coming on is, what is the experience of your first day like? Let's just start there, okay? And you should have undivided attention. And undivided attention is something that's very difficult to give because you're stressed out and short-staffed and you need to do things. But if you can master undivided attention through the assimilation period of the person coming on board, you're going to have a much higher likelihood. Like, for example, the standing statistic is 50% of people don't make it 120 days. So we have, right, just knowing that, we have a huge advantage on making sure we can do everything possible. And the first thing to do is to spend undivided time with them. Now, the five topics that came out of this, and if anyone has a pen, you could write them down and, or play the skin. But the first one was the environment. And that was basically how we're treated, how we're respected, and do we get interrupted at work? And being interrupted at work was one of the most common complaints from technicians in the field. And basically they were saying is, look, I'm carrying a refrigerator up to the third floor. It's on a hand truck. I've got someone at the bottom pushing it up or I'm pulling it up. And all you do is just keep blowing up my phone, asking me to drop what I'm doing. And I'm trying to do this and I can't stop in the middle. And then when I do call you, you want to know why it took so long. And these types of things happen all over properties. And so the other thing is with treatment is a lot of times the way that we view treatment or respect is completely different than the way the person in the field feels respected. So just because you feel like you're demonstrating respect doesn't mean that they feel like they're receiving respect. And, you know, I'll hear things like this all the time, like, did you get anything done today? Well, how long could that take? I know this person in the industry that you've never met that told me your job should be easier than you're saying it is. And we have these conversations because very often we'll refer to our social circles. But the way that we speak to people is very important. And the lack of appreciation is something that keeps coming up over and over and over again. And I just want to just ask you this. Do you realize how stressed out your teams are? And I think most people really don't. Because most of the time, the technicians won't bring it to your attention. They just don't even want to bring it up because it's not worth it. And they get dismissed, and they just want to go out in the field and prevent work from piling up. And, you know, what people really want is they want meaningful changes. They don't want pizza for lunch. And I have to tell you, as someone that speaks very often, if I visit 10 companies, say one a week, 9 out of 10 times, it's mass-produced boxes of pizza stacked up with bottles of soda. Mm. And the technicians, they don't even say anything. But how can you say that you, I mean, just please add a little variety to it. But they want meaningful changes, meaningful conversations that lead to meaningful, measurable, visible results that are felt in the field. The next thing is communication. Now, I see this very often, especially, for example, I'm doing an HVAC class or a certification. I ask this question every single time. How many of you had less than 24 hours notice, or let's say 48 hours notice, that you had to be here, and at least a third of the room's hands go up? The next question I ask is, how many of you were passively or directly threatened that you better pass, get certified, or else? And easily half the room raises their hand. And then someone usually chuckles and they go, well, they think that's motivation. And it's not motivation. It's you're handing out stress to people, and you're multiplying stress when they're trying to focus. And I have to tell you, certifications don't mean you're skilled. It just means you're able to work on certain systems. It's a transfer of liability, not an acknowledgement of skill. And certifications shouldn't even count in training, in my opinion, at all. But something that happens very often is people feel left out of the loop, or they say, all we hear is complaints. I come in the office, they hang their head, and all they hear is what went wrong. And it's very rare that someone says, I'll ask you this too if you're listening, when is the last time you got called into the office for nothing but praise, a handshake, a pat on the back, and then the person said, thanks for coming? That's it. And we need to do a little bit more of that. And performers, high performers, need to make sure that their work is acknowledged. The other thing is people need resources. Now this, let me just say, this is where we need to make a change immediately. You know, there's an analogy I use a lot, which is if you were going to a construction site and there were four people sitting on the framing of the house, and one person had a box of nails and one person had a hammer. The person that had a hammer took a nail out of the box, put the nail in, handed the box to the person next to them, took the hammer, handed it to the person next to him. So while three people are sitting there, one person shakes a nail out of the box, puts the nail in, passes the hammer and the nail to the next person. That person puts it in while the other three people are watching, and they're waiting for that hammer to get passed around. My question is, do you think you should build a house with one hammer? And the answer, of course, is no. But why do we have four technicians that do AC calls and one set of gauges? Or two. So 50% of our workforce, or 75%, can't do an AC call at the same time, and we have 30 AC calls. So if you want to make a difference, like immediately, what's going to keep people? Welcome to our company. Here's all the hand tools you need. You make it 120 days, we'll give you all the meters that we need. There are companies right now that have a waiting list of people to work for them. Harbor does a great job. They have a leadership program specifically just for their service managers. No one else is allowed to go. They have 150 people on the calls. Arbor does a wonderful job, and they're based out of Florida. When you get hired for them, you have a customized tool belt, a tool bag, and a box with all the hand tools you need. You make it 90 to 120 days, you get a gift, a bonus, and you get all the meters that you need. And all of that costs less than being short-staffed one person. Middleburg does a great job. They have great training for days at a time. H.H. Hunt does a great job. There's a lot of companies that just do a wonderful job at having training and resources for people. Instead of expecting people to show up with all the tools, just give them what they need. What does it cost? Now, the question is, well, what if they steal those? What if they take them? Well, you hired a thief.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do if people take too many cookies off the desk? You put new cookies on the desk. If people steal your toilet paper, you buy new toilet paper. And it's not because you provided tools. It's because that person has a character flaw. And that's why they disappeared.
Well, Mark,
or maybe it wasn't clear enough. Yes,
I was going to say we're going to have to do another episode because we're running out of time, and I want to give you a chance to tell everybody a little bit. We've got about a minute and a half left. A little bit about how you got started, what you're doing now, and how can they reach out to you if they'd like to find out more.
Well, thank you, Paul. And you know, I could talk about this for days. And it's my pleasure to come back. So, you know, I've been in the industry. This is almost my 30th year, and I was an HVAC contractor, and I moved to North Carolina almost 30 years ago. And I started off as a technician, a supervisor, regional, and then took on a national role, the director of service teams and development for Cornerstone and Colonial Properties. And this is my 20th year on my own as a consultant and a speaker. And it is my goal to help improve our industry, especially through the services and the service teams. So anyone can find me. If you just Google my name, I'll be the only one that pops up. I have a very unique last name. My website is service team training, serviceteamtraining.com. And of course, I do presentations and keynotes and training sessions. And I also have an online library with Grow Learning. And we have one that's coming out for affordable housing soon. And so, but the thing for me is I want to make sure that everyone in the field knows that there are people that want to get them what they need. I want everyone in management to know that everyone in the field really wants to do a good job. They just want to get what they need, make the problems go away. And if there's anything I could do, you can just go to my website. My email is Mark, M-A-R-K, at service team training, Mark at serviceteamtraining.com. And I'll be glad to send them a summary of our discussion today, ideas for meetings and tips and notes, questions for consideration, exercises to do to help develop the soft skills and the technical skills in the field. And so I'm pretty easy to reach if anyone would like to find me.
Perfect. Well, for everybody listening, if you go to our website, multifamilyradio.com, to this episode page, Mark, the service team logo will be there. And if you click on it, it'll take you directly to Mark's website. But Mark, thank you so much for coming, being on the show today. We will have another great power panel of industry experts next week. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.